Welcome to Dark History Time with Brian. A few things before we get started. Need to let you know that you might find some of this material disturbing. We do use adult language on the show. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome back to Dark History Time with Brian. I know it's been a couple weeks. I hope you guys enjoyed the interview singular, but we broke it up into two episodes. Interview with Tina Marie. I know we covered a lot of different things. I hope we covered enough of the things that you guys like in the paranormal field. We did some history and we did some sites and things of that nature. So I would not be surprised if we had Tina Marie back at some point in time, maybe narrow the focus a little bit for you guys on some things. I want to let you know that this will probably be the last podcast that drops in the month of October, simply because we have DeadCon over in Fort Wayne this weekend, and then it's time for Dark History and Horror Convention. Right around the corner on October 23rd, Saturday, October 23rd in Champaign at the I Hotel. We hope to see you there, and that's going to be the basis of this podcast episode. Not going to bring you a bunch of new material. I'm going to just kind of use my soapbox to promote the show that got me going, and certainly not what got me into dark history. I've been into that for 30 some years, but the show that has came out of that, and this is going to be, should have been the 7th episode of it, but it will only be 6th because of 2020, and we know what happened there. So before I get into all of that, I figured I at least owe it to you to throw you something. So I did find one thing that occurred. Obviously, there's probably more than one thing that occurred, but one big thing that occurred on October 13th, and that was in 1972. Did you ever see the movie Alive? Do you remember when that came out? I guess it came out in 93, so it might be a little bit before you were into viewing movies.
No, I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, okay.
I've heard of it, though.
It made a big splash. It was about a plane crash in the mountains. I thought it was a soccer team. I've refreshed my memory. It was a rugby club. They did have to resort to cannibalism. So it was Uruguayan Air Force Flight 571, also known as the Miracle Flight 571. It was originated in Uruguay, bound for Chile. It crashed in the Andes Mountains on the 13th of October, 1972. The accident became known as the Andes Flight Disaster and the Miracle of the Andes. At the time of the crash, there were 11 initially passed away, and there was initially 34 survivors. By the time everybody was found, there was a total of 29 fatalities and only 16 survivors out of the original batch of people, because they were out there for 72 days.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that did not help matters at all. So the flight was carrying 45 passengers and crew, including 19 members of the Old Christians Club Rugby Union team, along with their families, supporters, and friends. Crazy thing is, pretty soon after it crashed in the mountains, there were people flying over looking for it. Problem being, the fuselage was white, and it had slid down into the snow. They could not see it. They searched for the first 8 days, and they just never could spot it in those 8 days. So it turns into 72 days that they're out there. In that 72 days, of course, the exposure to the weather, starvation, even had an avalanche hit them at one point in time. 13 more people died after that, and some did resort to cannibalism. On December 23rd is when they were finally recovered. The last of the 16 survivors were rescued. Upon being rescued, the survivors initially explained that they had eaten some cheese and other food that they had carried with them, and then local plants and herbs. They had planned to discuss the details of how they survived, including the cannibalism, in private with their families, but rumors started to circulate, and it came out pretty quick that Immediately after the rescue, survivors had killed some of the others for food. On the 23rd of December, news reports of cannibalism were published worldwide, except in Uruguay. Two pictures taken by members. I'm not going to try to pronounce it in the native tongue. For us, it's the Andean Relief Corps, of a half-eaten human leg were printed on the front page of two Chilean newspapers, who reported that all survivors resorted to cannibalism. Survivors ended up having a press conference on the 28th of December, and they recounted the events of the past 72 days. Alfredo Delgado spoke for the survivors. He compared their actions to that of Jesus Christ at the Last Supper, during which he gave his disciples the, I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong, the Eucharist?
Eucharist.
Yeah. So it's close. The survivors received public backlash initially, but after they explained the pact that the survivors had made to sacrifice their flesh if they died to help the others survive, the outcry diminished and the families were more understanding. A Catholic priest heard the survivors' confessions and told them that they were not damned for cannibalism, given the in extremis nature of their survival situation. So that is the bare bones, no pun intended, of the story there. It was covered in a 1993 movie called Alive, which I remember watching at the time because it made news. I mean, 93, that's still kind of a thing that was not heard of very often. Clearly, we've had cannibals well before that. I mean, Dahmer was caught in 91, so that story had been out there, but then when you make a movie where these people had to resort to cannibalism, that kind of caught the headlines in 1993, and I remember renting it and watching it, and I don't remember a whole lot about the movie. I remember thinking it was pretty good, and they certainly did not play up the graphic nature of cannibalism. I mean, if I remember correctly, it's mentioned, you know it's coming, but it's kind of just spoken of but not seen.
It's implied.
Implied. And that's, if I remember correctly, I might not be remembering correctly, but I know there was nothing graphic about it. I certainly would have remembered that. So they didn't make it a point of showing, oh, this guy passed away and now these guys are hacking and eating on him and stuff like that. There was nothing like that. It's not a horror film. It's more in line with a docudrama type. It's a dramatized telling of what happened. So wanted to at least throw you guys a little something for that. I know we've already done October's Dark History Dates. That one wasn't in there. My apologies, but I'm glad I found it for today. Less than 2 weeks away, we have Dark History 2021 coming up. That will be at the iHotel and Conference Center in Champaign-Urbana. It will be Saturday, October 23rd. Doors open at 11 a.m. We close at 8 p.m. We have 80-ish, between 80 and 90 spots are going to be filled between vendors, special guests, some celebrities, things of that nature. We have the Film Fest that will be running all day long. Austin knows some of the things that went along with that. I think we had 27 and a half hours of film that we've whittled down to 7.5, which is always tough to do. Lots of good submissions. I hate it when we have to tell to filmmakers you didn't make it. It's never easy to say because very rarely do we have some films that you can tell are just kind of slapped together and thrown at things to see what happens. Most of these people put in a lot of time and effort, and to know that they didn't make it into events, I know has to be tough on them, and I'm sorry for that. We did have a number of what I would call full lengths. When I first started doing this, I was told short films are 45 minutes or less. Everything over is considered feature length. So we did have a number of 1 hour and 15 minutes. I think we even had a submission that was almost 2.5 hours. Due to that, a lot of the bigger ones unfortunately don't make it. And I know those guys put in a shit ton of time and effort into those, and that I feel bad. But it would be unfortunate to, or it'd be tough to call it a film fest and have fans sit around if you saw three films for the entire day. So we try to maximize their viewing options, try to get in as many films as we can. A lot of the shorter ones do tend to fill in the area. I do know for a fact that this year there's more dark history related films that have made it to the final cut, at least two that deal with genocide, one of a Greek village that the Nazis went through and unfortunately exterminated most of the village. The other one is a Hungarian story that I knew nothing about this part of history when the waning days of World War II, Russians have come through, Germans have taken off, and this part of Hungary, they in Czechoslovakia area, they, if I remember correctly, I think I do, they took their opportunity to rid themselves of the Hungarians that they didn't want around and place them in a camp, and it turned out to be, you know, kind of a work/death camp. And clearly I didn't know about that. I mean, it's basically your liquidation on a smaller scale that clearly didn't get reported because, I mean, on the world news at that time, they're just talking about Germany's surrender, Russia coming through. A lot of bigger news where they didn't worry about little regional stuff that was going on. So that one enlightened me. I know there's some other things. I know we have a version of Annabelle Lee by Edgar Allan Poe that's in there. Some other local folks that have submitted films, though, their films will be in there. You can find all of this on the Facebook page, Dark History and Horror Convention. You just need to go to the page. I know we've published the Film Fest schedule. We've also posted our speakers and panels, and I want to hit on those briefly because this one, it's all true crime, which I don't think I've ever had that. Previous times, I've done a celebrity panel, authors, artist panels, things of that nature. This year, it just happened that when I started talking to some of these people, they asked if they could make a presentation, and I said sure, and it wound up being this way. Starting off the speaker's presentation, scheduled to start off at noon, is Ron Murphy. He's known as the Crypto Guru, and he's going to give a speech on the history of vampires. The reason I say scheduled is Ron just did contact me today. He has some family members who have come down with COVID. He is unsure of his ability to attend after all. He said he would let me know within the next day or two. So tentatively, Ron is still on the schedule, but it sounds like there may be some family illness issues with COVID that he will not be able to join us. Next on the list is Francesca Maselli. A lot of people are familiar with the Gypsy Rose Blanchard. I think it's probably a couple years old now, called The Act. The Act. That was on one of the streaming services. It was about this story. Francesca's presentation is going to be Gypsy Rose Blanchard, the true story behind America's sweetheart murderer. So she's going to go into more of the meat of the case and what hasn't been probably presented in some of the versions that you've seen. If you've just seen the movie, you probably glossed over some of the more damning evidence. So she's going to hit on that. That's followed by at 2 o'clock. All of these are scheduled for 45 to 60 minutes, so you guys know. 2 o'clock, we have E.J. Hammond scheduled to speak. E.J. is a Ted Bundy expert. She has had a blog for quite some time. It's called The Confessions of a Bundy File. She does cover other things, but that's really her point of specialty. She's been on a number of true crime podcasts that I follow, Criminology being one of the big main ones that she has contributed a lot to. She does have a book, I believe, slated to come out in November on Ted, mostly on Ted's time in Florida, where I know that she is talking to the sheriff, Ken Katsaris. I believe she's talking to some prosecutors. She's talked to at least one or two of the survivors. Kathy Kleiner was one of the survivors of the sorority house massacre that Bundy perpetrated. Excuse me. And her presentation is the real Ted Bundy, the truth behind the golden boy of serial killers, or killing, excuse me. 3 o'clock is scheduled to be Judith Yates. Judith is a friend of mine. She came to, I think, the second ever Dark History, and we became friends and have talked ever since. I have actually seen, she may have added some new things to her presentation. I have seen the one that she has done on this subject before, and even though I don't get emotional about a lot of this stuff, especially the true crime things, I can be very analytical about it, the way that she presented her stuff, I actually felt it in my chest and felt a little choked up hearing about this case. Hers is When Nashville Bled, The Untold Stories of Serial Killer Paul Reed. And I think the reason it hits so hard is there's no victims that you want to hear about. Some it's easier to hear about. These were almost all of his victims were teenagers who were working in fast food. And at Judith has always been extremely focused on the victims. And that's, I think, why her and I get along so well. We both are working towards the same thing. And so her presentation is a lot more about the type of people the victims were. And then at the end, we talk about what a piece of shit Paul Reed is. So she hits on the crime, the act, but then she goes very in-depth on the victims and then mentions the guy the way it should be. The purpose or the focus of the presentation is a lot more on the victims and who they were. 4 o'clock, I am extremely excited to welcome back David Thibodeau, Waco survivor. He will be presenting on the things that he went through and during the Waco siege. Hearing this from this is a firsthand account. You guys won't get the opportunity for that very often. There were only 9 people that exited the building once the fire started, and Thibodeau is one of those. His book, also called Waco, A Survivor Story, was optioned and turned into the Netflix series that you guys know with Michael Shannon and Taylor Kitsch, and Rory Culkin actually plays David Thibodeau in that. So Tibbs will be back. I'm very excited to have him back, and you guys won't want to miss that presentation. Then 5 o'clock, we have John Farrick coming down. John is originally from the Joliet, Peoria area. He's been a reporter for a number of years. He's written 5 or 6 books. Most of his tend to focus on wrongful convictions and planted evidence, tampering with crime scenes. Most recent completed work, I know he has one coming up soon, but his most recent completed work was called Wrecking Crew, where he was given exclusive access to Kathleen Zellner's files on Stephen Avery and her fight to get Stephen at least a new trial, if not released. So he is the only author to date that has worked extremely closely with Zellner. The product of that is his book, Wrecking Crew. So John's going to be presenting on Stephen Avery and the dilemma of wrongful convictions. If you've seen Making a Murderer 1 or particularly Season 2, a lot of what you learned in Season 2 was in John's book, and he'll be discussing that. And then we're going to wind the night out at 6 o'clock with the Serial Killer Culture panel. John Borowski documentary, Serial Killer Culture. He also did a couple seasons on DVD of that, Serial Killer Culture TV. You guys might hear the rain. It just decided to open up on us. So.
But that's
cool. That's cool. It's fitting for what we talk about. So.
Sets the mood.
Exactly. John tells me that this will be the first time in I'm not sure how many years, but years plural, that all of these folks are going to be together, and it's going to be at my show, which makes me feel very honored and privileged to bring it to you. So it'll be John Borowski, Joe Hiles. Joe Hiles is he's pretty prominent in the documentary. Joe was called the godfather of murderabilia, a name which people in the hobby hate. But Joe, back in the day in the 90s, actually did the talk show circuit. So he's been on Sally Jesse and Geraldo, all these, usually opposite of Adam Walsh. Or not Adam, excuse me. Jeez. John Walsh. Adam was John's son. And unfortunately, Joe was always brought on as basically the whipping boy. People wondering, why would you collect this kind of stuff? So Joe's been through it. Steve Giannangelo is going to be part of it. Steve has written a couple books on the subject of, I'd say, abnormal psychology. It's not just that. I mean, he's studied serial killers. His book is one of the best. I consider it another one of the Bibles on serial killing. It's called Real Life Monsters. Steve's in the show. Jeff Gaither, who has designed our show poster and the T-shirts, and that I've known for a number of years. Jeff is also in the movie because he's an avid collector, and Jeff's going to be a part of this panel. And John just dropped on me this week that he intends to bring Rick Staton with him, which is an awesome surprise for me. Rick was John Wayne Gacy's art dealer. When Gacy first got locked up and started screwing around with art, Rick is the one, his contact on the outside, that he would send his art to, and then Rick would set up the art shows to sell off John's art.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
Yeah. And he's also a mortician, or was a mortician in the Houston area. So Rick is a wealth of knowledge on these guys, particularly Gacy and Dean Corll, the candy man from the Houston area. I believe about 5 years before Gacy popped, Dean Corll popped, and his was high 20s for his victims as well. Also young men, also homosexual killings, buried them in a boat shed, most of them in a boat shed, a couple in a wooded area, and a couple out on a beach around Houston, the Houston and Galveston area. So check that out. That's going to wind out our speakers and things of that nature. Like I said, it's extremely dark history and true crime heavy, which is fantastic. This year, out of all the years, except for the very first that nobody really knew about, that I put on, that was like a 3-hour show in Rantoul, this will be probably the heaviest true crime dark history grouping that I've had for a while, which is fantastic. You can also find on the page our list of vendors. We have, like I said, we've got, let's see if I've got them plotted out. Yeah, around 85-ish people that are slated to have spots there. Some highlights, just I want to make sure to mention a couple people just because of the distances they're traveling. Cryptid Comforts, Lisa Russell, is coming to us from Washington State. She's going to be there. She does, I believe, little acrylics. She does stuffed animals, stickers, keychains. She does all kinds of things based on cryptids. So you can pick yourself up a little Bigfoot or the Jersey Devil or any of these other ones that you might find. I believe she's probably covered them all. Trying to think of some other ones that are coming from a pretty good distance, which always... It always humbles me because I just am surprised they want to come this far to be a part of something. Not necessarily from a far distance, but one that I want to make sure to throw out there for any of you tabletop gaming type of people. Killers the Card Game. Jeff is going to be joining us from down in Kentucky. He's going to come up here with his card game. It is, from my understanding, I'm not a gamer in this way, so I don't understand all of that stuff. I just asked him if I could have the cards because all the cards are serial killers, gangsters. I believe he just released an expansion pack that's female serial killers. He has a lot of little expansion packs, but it's, from what I understand, it's along the lines of like Magic the Gathering and things like that, where you have gameplay.
But with these, true crime.
Exactly. These cards tell you what their victim preference is and gives and assigns numbers to how they kill.
Like damage points.
Exactly.
I'm not super well versed in magic, but I understand a lot of the concepts.
So that it's along those lines, and the goal of the game is to not be caught. So that's how that one plays out. And
that could be fun.
Yeah,
that could be really fun.
I mean, I'm really, like I said, I have gotten the first two packs of cards. I know he has more, so I might have to talk to him about that. But I don't necessarily need the game board or the. Any of that stuff.
Yeah, you just like having the collector cards.
I just like having the collector cards. They're in my baseball card sheets in a binder. So I've got those. One from up by the Quad Cities that we're excited to have this year for the first time is Death Stitch Custom Clothing. Death Stitch takes button-up shirts. I'd say probably 80 to 90% of those would be flannel. And they cut off the graphic off of graphic tees and stitch it to the back of your flannel for you. Every show that I've seen these guys do, they just kill it. Everybody loves the idea of a button-up / graphic shirt. I mean, I don't recall the pricing, but it must be pretty damn good because they just fly out of there. I mean,
picking one up. I was going to say, I remember you showed me a few, and I was like, I want one.
I've seen these guys at 3 shows now, and from the time the show starts to the time it ends, you will see a lot of people will suddenly be clad in flannel, and it'll be from these guys. So it's really excited to have them make their way over to us. Atomic Cotton, I've been wanting Zach Kaufman for years. I met Zach at Mad Mobster in Chicago, I think in 2014 or 15. Him and his wife, Erica, they run Atomic Cotton. This is pretty much all they do is conventions. They do shirts that are a lot of original designs, but also a lot of plays on your popular films that you know. I'm not sure what it is that sells me on these guys, other than, I mean, they're extremely cool. Zach has a ZZ Top type beard. I mean, it's down about belly button red. It's impressive, and plays bass guitar and likes Type O Negative like me. So Zach and I have, I'd like to say, hit it off, and this will be the first chance that their schedule has actually lined up with mine to have them available and have them up here. They will be producing the con shirts as well. Dust Bunny Mafia, Brett, he's up by Chicago. First time having Brett down. Dust Bunny Mafia is a comic series of using real-life gangsters from the golden era of gangsters, but illustrating them as little animals. So it's a very interesting way to get these stories across. Everybody loves how cute they are, and he's telling mob stories with these characters being little animals. He has a lot of merchandise and cards and his books, the comic books about these stories. So it's going to be cool to have him. He's probably the first organized crime guy I've had for a few years. I know I've had some guys in the past, but glad to have Brett on board. Have to mention Genius Book Publishers. They are coming to us from California and bringing three of their authors, I believe. So they're going to have a couple tables set up. A number of their books. They also do dark fiction, some poetry. I know one of them is going to have a serial killer activity book that they're going to be bringing along. But we gotta make sure, if you're coming out to the show, we gotta make sure to show them some love just for coming all the way from California for us. We have tattooing back this year. One of my tattoo artists did have to back out, but we still have Crystal and Angel are going to be joining us from Beloit, Wisconsin. Justin Brewer is from here in town. Justin's the one that did my arm. If any of you guys have ever seen pictures of my dark history arm, as I call it, with the gangsters and serial killers on it, Justin did all that work. I know I get a lot of compliments on the work. So
they're phenomenal portraits. Yeah. Portraits are hard to translate to a tattoo.
Right.
And
Justin's done a fantastic job. I get compliments and comments and people want to know who it is all the time. Well, Justin's going to be there. So here's your chance. Your beard's not that long, so I don't know. I just got hooked up with Old World Vending. He uses a lot of runes and old Celtic and Viking stuff in his setups, but he makes it's homemade beard balms, shampoo, soaps. What else am I missing? I'm missing some. Oh, deodorants, lotions geared towards men, but done with minimal ingredients and no chemicals or any of that other bullshit. It's all natural, and it smells fantastic. We met him last month, and he's going to be coming down to join us. I've hit on, in the speakers panel, hit on most of the, or a lot of the special guests. I know a lot of you guys want to know celebrities, because celebrities bring you in the door. So our celebrities are Corin Nimick. A lot of folks know him from Parker Lewis Can't Lose, if you're in my age range. That's our first introduction to him. He was also, the True Crime Connection is, I believe it was a year or two before Parker Lewis, he was in a TV series called I Know My Name is Steven. That is based on, if Austin recalls, one of our Morbidly Macabre podcasts. I talked about the Stainer brothers. Carrie and Steven Stainer. He played Steven Stainer. Corin played Steven Stainer in the show there. For mainstream mass fan bases, he was in Supernatural. He's in Stargate SG-1. He was in the first TV movie or TV series, The Stand, in the early 90s. He played Harold Lauder. He's gone on to do a number of other things. I know he's played Ted Bundy in a movie. He's played Richard Speck in a movie. He was in a Boston Strangler movie. So the true crime aspect is there, but Corin is also big mainstream as well. Bishop Stevens will be joining us back from down by St. Louis area. Bishop's had a lot on his plate lately with movies that he's been filming. I know that he's, within the last year, he's filmed with Malcolm McDowell, Gary Busey, Tara Reid, Robert Lissardo, Costas Mandalar, I do believe, Michael Pere. You know the names. Bishop has recently starred on them, and he's also featured in one of the films that will be in the film fest, I believe, in Block B, last day. So make sure you check that out. And Bishop said he'll be sitting in on that viewing as well.
That was a fun one. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's without giving too much away, it's not necessarily what you might think is coming your way. And then to play up the extremely graphic and morbid nature of it with comedy, it's a fun little movie. It's no lie. It's a fun little movie. Then rounding it out, as far as celebrities go, I consider these two legendary. It's going to be a miniature Texas Chainsaw Massacre reunion with Grandpa John Dugan and Pam the Meat Hook Girl, Terry McMinn. They will both be joining us. And like I said, if you've seen the movie, the classic 1974 Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know both of these characters. I know a lot of people are revolted by Grandpa. I can tell you that John Dugan is the farthest thing from revolting. He is the sweetest guy you'll ever want to meet. I've met Terry once. Again, same thing. She's fantastic. So here's your chance to come out and meet these folks. The beauty of my show is it is not thousands upon thousands upon thousands of attendees, for better or worse. I think it's for the better. Every compliment that I've gotten about my show is that it is of the size that you can have some time to speak with these folks. You're not going to have lines of 20, 30, 40 people waiting for them where they're basically just mass producing their autographs on an 8x10 and shipping you on your way. You can actually have a conversation with a lot of them. And if they do happen to have a line, you can come back a little bit later and then the line might be down. I like to pick guests that I know like to interact with fans. And I know all these folks do. So, and I just know they're really nice people. So you'll want to take your opportunity to meet them, get to know them a little bit, maybe share a story or two, and it'll be an experience that you won't have at a lot of other places. Also joining that group is Wyatt Weed. Wyatt has become, I guess we don't talk often enough to call him friends, but Wyatt was a huge hit in 2019. He played a predator in Predator 2, and what the end scene, he was the boar predator. He's done a lot of fan films. Wyatt got his start as a miniatures creator and special effects and things of that nature. So he's a wealth of knowledge. I mean, in 2019, when I had him, I had a number of independent actors, and they all ended up at Wyatt's table. And all of them have ended up staying friends with him. And I think he's gone to a college or two. He goes around showing people how to make film, basically. So, and Wyatt's just a great, great guy. He's actually, I believe he's originally from Springfield, but he went to the U of I, so he loves coming back over here and seeing how things have changed. He's a U of I grad. Got to throw in, because I kind of have glossed over him in the past a little bit, to my mistake. We'll have Philo Barnhart, who I know is a huge fan favorite. Every time I have him, they had to miss 2019. He'll be back this year. Philo is the co-creator of Ariel, The Little Mermaid. He's worked with Hanna-Barbera Studios and Disney Studios. He helped design, I'm not sure how much video game, arcade games you played when you were younger, if they were still even a thing or not, but if you've ever heard of Dragon's Lair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He is an illustrator in Dragon's Lair as well. So, I mean, a little bit of everything that he has done. He's with Hanna-Barbera, he worked on Scooby-Doo. I don't even remember all the Hanna-Barbera studios, but if you watched Saturday morning cartoons 20 plus years ago, you saw Hanna-Barbera stuff, and he did that. So Philo will be back with us, and that's awesome. And a number of paranormal teams, if you're into that. We have I think at least three paranormal teams that I can remember. We'll have some readers. Sage will be doing, the Tinker Goddess will be doing tarot readings. I know we have a couple of crystal sellers. I was pointed out on Murder Metal Mayhem, I did that with those guys last night, and we had to make clear to that audience, and I don't think so much to this audience, but that is crystal is in the gym rock type of thing, not crystal is in what you would maybe want to smoke. So don't come looking for that. I'm afraid you hopefully will not find it at the show.
We hope.
Right. I know there's some other dealers. I can't think of what I would want to call them. I guess metaphysical dealers, a few of them. We should have damn near everything covered that you would want to have covered. I know, looking at my list, I know we have Cora Colville coming. Cora makes like custom gaming mats and bags for your dice and things like that. And she puts, I know she's done like Harry Potter symbols, Legend of Zelda type stuff. So she, I know, she, like I said, she does gaming mats. She does the dice pouches. She does a lot of things in that realm. So if you are a gamer, you're going to want to go see her. And yeah, pretty much everything in between. We should have a little bit of everything for you. A couple other podcasts on there. One that is simply titled Horror Fix. They're in the top five in the Springfield area. They're one of the top five podcasts in the Springfield market. And excited to say that Killer Culture Shop, my buddy Donnie Weimer, did have an opening in his schedule. Originally, he wasn't going to be able to make it. He'll be there now. Donnie has made our convention shirts for the past few years. And Donnie's booth is always a blast. He very dark humor, which I enjoy. I mean, he has the can koozie that I got from him, and I think he has it on a few other things. It says "Stay Thirsty" in his picture, Jim Jones. So that's the kind of things that Donnie has at his booth. His top seller. If you follow the Facebook page, you've seen me post it. It says "Family," and I believe it's the middle. It's the A in the middle is a picture of Charlie Manson's face. That is by far his most popular design. You have possibly seen it on such celebrities as Rob Zombie. I'm probably going to mispronounce his name. Dag, I'm going to say his first name, and I'm not going to try his last name. He was kid Michael Myers in Rob Zombie's Halloween. Dag has some of that merchandise. And if you like comedy, Jamie Kennedy has also hooked up with Donnie. He has, I believe he's got the family hat, and he also has the hat that says, "Maybe today, Satan." So that will be Donnie. You just got to check out his booth. I do him no justice when I try to think of all the cool shit that he has. So make sure you come out. Like I said, August 23rd, Saturday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. at the I Hotel and Convention Center in Champaign, Illinois. If you type in the address, it's going to give you a First Street address. I do want to let you know to come in off of St. Mary's. They intersect. The entrance that's going to be easiest for you is the one off of St. Mary's Road. You will see a very large back part of the building that is all glass front, and it will say Illinois Conference Center in large lettering above it. That'll be the place. You'll want to go there. Come on in. You can get your advance tickets on Eventbrite. Just look up Dark History and Horror Convention, or you can get them at the door, which is where we do a majority of our business anyway. We do ask if you pay at the door, please try to bring cash. Don't know if we've got card readers. I think we could probably figure out a card reader if we needed to. And they do have an ATM at the hotel if need be, but we do ask door sales to be cash if possible. We'll have some event shirts. We'll have event-exclusive posters that you guys might want to pick up and have the celebrities autograph. Each celebrity's on there. Yeah, that's it. And I said this is going to be a short, sweet podcast, but I probably talked to you for at least a half an hour at this point. So we're going to let you go. Know that I do have a plan for bringing the podcast back to you in November. And some of you have been maybe anxiously anticipating, when's he going to talk about a serial killer or something. I mean, shit, it's supposed to be a true crime podcast, but it's a true crime dark history podcast. I think I've liked the variety that I've had previously. I don't want to hit on the topics that everybody's heard about ad nauseum.
There's plenty of time to get to the big names,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and that can always come up. But do know that I plan on the first episode back being about a serial killer, for those of you who want to look forward to that. And I'm trying to see how big of an episode it is with him alone. If I don't think it's a meaty enough for you with the one, then I have a second one in mind. We might cover two guys in the next podcast back, both of them serial killers, both of them some that are two that you don't hear much about, which is what I'm trying to do with this show. Folks that are way into it like I am, you know these guys, but some other casual listeners that are just getting into this genre, you might not have heard of these guys. And the reason I picked them out is because they are both pretty graphic in what they did. I try not to dwell on the graphic nature stuff, but for each of these guys, it illustrates their psychosis. So that's why I picked them out. It's something that if I do have the blood and guts listeners, this is gonna pique their interest, and and maybe get them to get them reined in for future episodes. So look forward to bringing you that. I'm not gonna even tease you guys the names, because I don't want you looking for time and finding out all about them on your own. I want to be the one to tell you about them. So
we'll let them patiently wait.
Yeah, patiently await, knowing that I'm going to bring you a couple of, I'll go so far as to say California serial killers. And I'm going to leave it at that. Thanks again for listening. I hope to meet a number of you guys at the convention. If you come out, tell me you listen, and let me know what if you do listen, what you've liked, what you've disliked, what you'd like to hear in the future. I would love to meet you guys in person. I know my audience is small but growing, so let me know. Let me know what you guys think. And thanks again for listening. Thanks for putting up with me through the month of October. Hadn't thought about how limited time would be when we started this month, but yeah, with a convention that I'm technically a guest at, with this weekend at DeadCon, I'm there about my Dahmer book and supposed to be on a panel as well. And then with my own show that I put together throughout the year, but comes to its culmination here in October. And on a personal note, we're probably purchasing a place to live also this month. So just a lot of shit on the plate. I'll have to come back at you in November, and I know that you will be there waiting for me. So thanks again, guys. We'll talk to you soon.